So as the family enters the sanctuary, we'll ask you to turn to number 408 in your Psalter hymnal, and we'll sing, stand and sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness. On behalf of the family, a welcome to all of the friends who have come this morning for Bertha's memorial service. A reminder to them of the Lord's faithfulness and of the blessing that God enabled Mrs. Vanderplaats to be to so many. We read here in Romans 14, it tells us, none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Well, let's ask for the Lord's blessing on our time together, shall we? O God of boundless compassion, you are in Christ our only sure comfort in distress. Look tenderly, we pray, upon the Vanderplaats family. Care for them as your beloved children for Jesus' sake. As they sorrow and mourn the loss of your servant, their loved one, grant them, O God, the light of your presence in the midst of darkness, Assure them of your everlasting love in Christ, and enable them and all of us in this hour to see beyond the grave, that we might behold the day of resurrection at our Lord's return, and rejoice by faith at the coming of his kingdom. And remember, along the way, all of your blessings given to us in Jesus' name. So hear us, O God, as we ask all of these things for his sake alone. Amen. Well, I'll invite you to look at the back of the folder. And there we have the well-known opening question and answer from the Heidelberg Catechism. And so you're welcome to follow along or listen along. And I'll read the question and answer that we have there. It starts off and asks us, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer teaches us to say that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. What a wonderful confession, not only to hear, but by God's grace to be able to make. Let's turn to the inside and we'll read the memorial tribute. Bertha Vanderplaats, daughter of James and Tina Van Dyke, was born January 8, 1922, near Hospers, Iowa, in Sioux County. She spent her youth in the Hospers and Melvin, Iowa areas, attended the local country schools, and graduated from the eighth grade at Melvin. On June 7, 1942, Bertha was united in marriage to James Vanderplaats in Sanborn, Iowa. To this union were born five children. Their married life began on a farm near Hartley, Iowa, where together they raised their family and worked the land. Jim and Bertha retired to Sanborn in 1981. Jim and Bertha were members of the Sanborn Christian Reformed Church until 1995 and became charter members of the Cornerstone United Reformed Church of Sanborn that same year. Bertha enjoyed spending many hours creating beautiful crochet pieces, doing jigsaw puzzles, baking, and gardening. Her husband passed away in January of 2007. She moved into the Prairie View Retirement Home of Sanborn in 2017, living there until she passed from this life on April 5th, 2018, at the age of 96 years. She will always be remembered by those who knew her for her gentle and loving spirit and for her unwavering faith in her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Along with her husband and parents, she was preceded in death by her four brothers and their wives, Jake and Bessie Van Dyke, Herman and Minnie Van Dyke, John and June Van Dyke, Marion and Annette Van Dyke, her five sisters and their husbands, Rose, Bill DeBoer, Tina and Jake Van Dyke, Ann and Carl Talsma, Rika and Jake Andringa, and Beatrice and Pete Andringa, daughter-in-law Gloria Vanderplaats, one grandson, two great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild. Bertha will be lovingly remembered by her five children and their families, Thelma and her husband Ken Hawk of Harris, Iowa, Carolyn and her husband Jerry Godart of Orange City, Iowa, Dennis Vanderplaats of Sioux Center, Iowa, Les and his wife Barb Vanderplaats of Orange City, Iowa, and Rose and her husband Tom Van Engen of Mangalau, Guam. 19 grandchildren, 32 great-grandchildren, 3 great-great-grandchildren, many nieces, nephews, other relatives, and friends. So at this time, Joshua Vanderplaats, who is Bertha's grandson through her son Dennis, has a solo to sing for us, Precious Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Joshua. It is a testimony to that wonderful promise of the gospel that even at the loss of a loved one, a mother, the closest of those earthly relationships, as we begin our earthly lives, that we can still offer up praise and thanks to God. And even though there is, understandably, sorrow and sadness, nevertheless, the joy of Christ with God's blessing among us. So we're going to have a scripture medley of sorts. I'll read a selection of different passages from God's Word, Old and New Testament. And the first passage comes from Psalm 16. And we'll sing from Psalm 16 at the very end of our service, but we'll hear the beginning and the end of that psalm here. It's a psalm of David, and it says in verses 1 and 2, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." And then at the end of the psalm, it finishes and says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." We'll turn forward just a little bit further in the book of Psalms. Psalm 73, another well-known passage, "In Sweet Communion, Lord, with Thee," number 138 in our Psalter hymnal, walks us through these words here near the end of the psalm. It says, "I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." And so with those two Old Testament passages at hand, we'll come to the book of Romans here in the New Testament. And we'll look at Romans 8. A wonderful chapter in God's Word. And in verse 1 it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And then later in the chapter it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." And then at the end of the chapter, it says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In 1 Corinthians 15, which we heard a little bit of at the graveside earlier, that great chapter on the resurrection of the body ends with these words. "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, have a wonderful promise for us. We look, of course, for our Lord Jesus to return. He is our Savior and the one we long to see. And yet, as an added blessing of belonging to Christ, when he returns, there will be a great reunion of all of his people together at his feet. And that's what is described for us here in 1 Thessalonians 4. Beginning in verse 13, it says, We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So there's a medley of promises from God's word that each of us are called not only to hear, but by God's grace given to us in Christ to believe as well. Well, let's turn once more to our Blue Psalter hymnal. We'll turn to number 328, and we'll sing together, My God, How Wonderful Thou Art. Number 328. At this time, Sarah Benbow, who is a daughter to Bertha through her son Les, will come and have a word of remembrance for us.
As he said, my name is Sarah, and I am Bertha's granddaughter. There are 19 of us who call her grandmother. There are 5 who called her mom, 32 who called her great-grandma, and 3 who called her great-great-grandma. This week, as I reflected on my memories of her, there were several Bible passages that kept playing in my head. Colossians 3, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Proverbs 16, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And Proverbs 31 kept coming to mind because I could literally see pictures of Grandma in some of those words. She seeks wool and flask and works with willing hands. She lays her hand to the spindle. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She makes bed coverings for herself. In fact, Grandma made bed coverings or Afghan blankets for her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and many more people. She made one for me, and I was enamored with it. It was laying on my bed open for years. She crocheted these peach flowers with individual petals on them, and I would lay there and poke the petals out so that it would lay open on my bed. It's back there if you want to see it. When I asked my cousins for their memories of Grandpa or Grandma, several mentioned their blankets, and more than one mentioned having Iowa Hawkeyes on theirs. There's also one of those back there. They also mentioned her love of bubble-up soda, her ability to add up columns of numbers in her head while racing the calculator, and apparently she would win. The guest room full of dolls with dresses that she crocheted for each, doll houses that Grandpa had made and Grandma had decorated, her love of puzzles, her recipe for Velveeta cheese and dried beef served on rusk buns. It's a favorite. And my cousin Mike wrote something really beautiful that I want to share. Her laughter, that soft chuckle that shook her whole body, her grin slowly spreading wide across her face, turns out to be a hallmark of the Vanderplatz family. I can hear it when my mother, Cork, gathers with her siblings, that infectious good humor that echoes through the room, whether it's Aunt Rose or Thelma or Uncle Denny or Les. I feel it in me too, that we all somehow carry a little piece of Grandma's soul with us. And he's right, Grandma left the most important and the most endearing parts of herself with us. Her gentle spirit and her kind-heartedness, her calm and her joyful demeanor, and her never-ending faith. There is no one I admire more than my grandma, and no one I wish to be more like someday. Every now and then I can catch a glimpse of her and myself, especially in those quiet moments when I might pick up my cross stitch, or when I sit back and read a book, or even when I catch myself laughing at something that would irritate me otherwise. We all grieve her loss, but we also know that Grandma is home with her Savior, and we're thankful for the time that we've had with her on this earth, and all of us are better because of her. We love you, Grandma, and we'll carry you with us always.
Well, thank you, Sarah. The remembrance of our loved ones is a testimony to God's faithfulness, as Sarah mentioned, and to the way in which God's providence guides us and cares for us all throughout the course of our earthly journey. Well, we're going to have a meditation this morning from Psalm 116, and so we'll read from that psalm. And it says to us here in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So there's a reading from Psalm 116. Well, beloved family, Thelma, Dennis, Cork, Rose, I don't see you right offhand, Rose, and Les. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As you've laid your dear mother and grandmother to rest, may God give you a rich and ready remembrance of the sure hope that's found in the comfort of believing in and belonging to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you meditate upon that, give thanks to God for the grace that was on display in the life of your mother and grandmother. But don't forget to rest in the comfort of that promise of the gospel for yourself either. Because apart from true faith in Christ, there is no share in his benefits, there is no forgiveness of sins, and there is no sure hope of everlasting life. So as you hear God's word this morning, hear that word in faith, hear that call of the gospel, and entrust yourself into his hands. Do so truly, do so humbly, do so repentantly, and do so knowing that through Christ alone there is acceptance with God and that subsequent peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard your heart and your mind in his name. Beloved friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. A dear friend and sister in the Lord has been called to her eternal home. But lift up your head, for in Christ your redemption draws nigh also. And one day, the end of your earthly journey will be here as well. And just as Mrs. Vanderplaats was kept in God's care in that time, so too you can believe the promise of the gospel that he who called you is faithful and that he will preserve you to himself as you trust him. He will enable you to press on all the way to the end and grant you grace and strength each day. You will find him faithful and merciful to provide all of those things for you just as he did for Bertha. So give thanks to God for the blessing of a good friend. Give thanks for a life that was a testimony to Christ's grace. And give thanks in true faith that through that promise of the gospel, that same God makes himself known to you as a faithful father for the sake of his Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ. That passage that we read from Psalm 116 is what the family selected for the reading and the meditation this morning at the memorial service. And what a psalm it is. Right? Psalm 116. I visiting with, I always called her Mrs. Vanderplaat, so it's always difficult for me in situations like this to call her by her first name, but when visiting with Mrs. Vanderplaat over the years, I know we read Psalm 116 on more than one occasion, and had a chance to talk about the things in that psalm and to pray together unto God in light of that wonderful confession that we're able to make in those words. And so Psalm 116 is a psalm that it teaches us to begin our prayers with a note of praise and with a note of assurance. Look how it starts out. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Those are words that your mother and grandmother knew, and those are words that she knew well. Those are words that she had hidden in her heart. And I know the word on the street here at Cornerstone was that Mrs. Vanderplaat pretty well had the entire Blue Psalter hymnal memorized. And I know when we would sing number 228, I Love the Lord, the Fount of Life and Grace, I would see her singing without a book in hand and joining with the rest of us in offering up a sacrifice of praise to God from that song. And that gospel-centered confession of faith in Psalm 116, that's what Mrs. Vanderplaat lived in light of. And when that time came, that's what God enabled her to die in light of as well. That enabled her to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That enabled her to put on that full armor of God each day, that she might stand strong and that she might stand fast against the wiles of the wicked one. So have that as an encouragement as you reflect upon the life that God gave to her, but have that as an encouragement as you embrace that same reality of Psalm 116 for yourself, that you too might be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and that God would use the promises of this psalm to protect you and to preserve you, even as he did for his servant Bertha and for countless others who have looked to him for those promises to be true. Psalm 116, it goes on as well to remind us of the danger that death and sin brings to us. And in verses 3 and 4, it teaches us to cry out to God that we might have a deliverance and salvation from death and from the dangers of sin. And hear what it says in verses 3 and 4. It says, the snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Perhaps verses 3 and 4 are the most important part of Psalm 116. Because the note of praise and assurance at the beginning in verses 1 and 2, and then verses 5 to 19 at the end, those verses lead up to and those verses flow from what we have here in verses 3 and 4. Because what we have in verses 3 and 4 is essentially a recognition that sin and death are enemies that we need deliverance from. And that we are hopeless and helpless to deliver ourselves from those enemies, and that we have to entrust ourselves into the Lord's hands, knowing that he alone is able to grant us the freedom and the salvation from sin and death that we need. Because if there's no recognition of the danger that we have against sin and death, if there's no recognition of the need that we have for a Savior, if we never come to the point where verses 3 and 4 come from our lips as they flow from our heart, well then, that cry for salvation will never be uttered, and God's grace will never be received. And when we put those verses in that context, after the word of assurance and promise, and before the word of gratitude and thanksgiving, well then, verses 3 and 4 not only make sense, but they have the proper context in which to be preached, or to be heard, or to be believed, or to be stood upon, or to be recognized as a God-given, firm foundation, no matter what. And there's no doubt, even as Sarah mentioned in her word of remembrance, like we heard in the memorial tribute, and as you who are family to Mrs. Vanderplaats and all of us who were her friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's no doubt that she was a dear woman. No doubt a faithful wife and mother. No doubt a loving grandmother. And all of those things are good. All of those things are true. And all of those things are worthy of being said unto the praise and glory of God. They're all a testimony to his work in her life. But the best thing that can be said about Bertha Vanderplaats, the thing that is most important on her epitaph, is this. Although she was a sinner, she was nevertheless yet saved by God's grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And the note of thankfulness in Psalm 116 was a note of thankfulness of her heart. Verses 5 through 7. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And so in a profound way, knowing those things in her mind for understanding, knowing those things in her heart for enlivening and for encouragement, Psalm 116 has that tried and true pattern of guilt, grace, and gratitude that Mrs. Vanderplaats and so many of us know well. Because all of us who are still here, we need to remember that pattern of guilt, grace, and gratitude. Right? We need to return to that foundation. That's what God has established for us in the understanding of the gospel promise, to be a firm foundation upon which we stand and build our lives. Because the word of the gospel that we have here, not just in verses 5, 6, and 7, which we just heard, but in Psalm 116 as a whole, that's a great source of comfort and encouragement, not just in the last hour of our earthly trial, as they were for Mrs. Vanderplaats when she breathed her last and was called home by Christ, but for us too, whenever that time might come, and for us too, with God's blessing all throughout the course of our days leading up to that last hour. So if you can know the confession of faith, that God's grace is faithful and true in Christ, that salvation full and free is a gift that he has provided for you in Jesus' name, and that your eternal rest of praise and thanks with the great company of the redeemed is what God has appointed as your destiny, well then rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord and tell of all his wondrous works as you go about the life that he has given to you. If you look or hear from Psalm 116 in verses 8 through 19, there's an interlude of sorts in verses 10 and 11 that we didn't hear in the reading. But Psalm 116 continues in verses 8 all the way down to the end of the chapter, and it unfolds that theme of gratitude in such a rich and profound way. Look at verses 10 and 11, or verses 8 and 9, rather. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, Dennis, you mentioned the other day at Prairie View that verses 8 and 9 have a special meaning for you in some regard, as God brought you through an earthly trial in recent years, and that passage came to mind when God showed you faithfulness in that moment and in the recovery afterwards. And that's a great passage, verses 8 and 9 in Psalm 116, a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness to you and the remembrance of them that you had on that occasion. And to use an old rabbinic teaching tool, we'll remove from something lesser to something greater. There's an opportunity to do that here as you remember that instance in your life. And just think of how rich and how significant what is said there is. You have delivered my feet, my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Just think how rich and wonderful that is in terms of realizing and receiving and then confessing God's grace in spirit and in truth as it ultimately is fulfilled for us in those words through Jesus Christ. He delivers us, yes, in some situations from temporal trials, but ultimately he delivers us from the world and from the flesh and from the devil. He delivers us from condemnation and from hell itself, having taken those things out of the way by his death on the cross. He dries all of our tears as we look at the end of Revelation and that promise, there shall be no more mourning nor crying because the old order of things has passed away. He makes our footing sure, like we heard about from Psalm 125 when we had our devotional earlier. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. And he brings us into the land of life at the occasion of our physical death. And we await then the end of all things, the dawn of the new Jerusalem, the onset of eternity and the new heavens and the new earth. And so the trajectory of verses 8 and 9 here in Psalm 116, they not only point us to Jesus Christ, in whom such profound privileges are given to us, but they also provide us with the promise of a heavenly and eternal suite that God uses the remembrance of to help us endure the earthly and temporal sweat as we look to him for grace and guidance along the way. And you know what? That was the outlook on life that Bertha Vanderplaats had. That's what God enabled her to have for her good and most of all for the glory and praise of his name. And as we hear from Psalm 116 this morning, well, may God give each one of us that same outlook on life for our good and for his glory, that we might never forget this wonderful word, but keep it in hand and hide it in heart and have it with us all along the way. Pick up the pace a little bit here as we finish out in Psalm 116 in verses 12 to 14. Those words are a promissory, as we're taught to affirm God's grace, and in that light, we're taught to announce our resolve to give him thanks because he has so loved us and saved us, and we now have the calling to live for him even as we promise and vow to do so. That's what it tells us. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And so how fitting it is that Psalm 116 should culminate with these words that are a loud voice of exclamation and testifying unto God in the midst of his own house and to the praise of his own glory. And Psalm 116 is found in a little section of the Psalter. Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 is known as the Great Hallel. It's a series of songs of praise in the book of Psalms that all end with that phrase, praise the Lord. And how fitting that Psalm 116 should not just end with that little phrase, but that those verses leading to the end should have gratitude as the ground of their praise. But there's one more thing that we read from Psalm 116 that we have to iron out, isn't there? And maybe you noticed it already. Maybe some of you were wondering, when's he going to mention verse 15? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a wonderful verse that is. It's tender, and it's tender-hearted. And it totally makes sense. Because if God's grace rescues undeserving sinners like us and like Mrs. Vanderplaats from all of our many sins through faith in Christ, if God cares for her and cares for us If he watches over us and nurtures us during all of the earthly days that he gives to us, and if God graciously inclines his ear to our voice, well then, it makes sense that at the end of our journey here on earth, which of course is in God's hand alone, that he would then receive us to himself and count our death as precious in his sight. Because redeemed sinners are the work of God's hands. That's what we are as Christian people. Like Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And since we are God's handiwork as believers, we are graciously regarded as worthy of his full and final attention. Not because we are that in and of ourselves, mind you, but because God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has promised, the one who began a good work in you will bring it to its completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And that day of completion, that day when God's work is finished in us, that day when what we have in Christ is complete, that's not the day of our death here on earth, is it? No, as wonderful as that day is for the believer, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that to depart and be with Christ is far better, as wonderful as those promises are, that's not the end of the line for those who believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. Because we're reminded that that time frame between physical death for the believer and the return of Christ, it's an intermediate time frame, isn't it? And all of those who've gone ahead of us, whether it's your father and grandfather or now your mother and your grandmother, all of those who have gone ahead of us, many others who have lost loved ones in the Lord already, when Christ returns at the end of the age, that's the time frame they wait for along with us, for that resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Because what God promises us in Christ, what God gives to us in Christ, is victory. Victory full and free as far as the curse is found. When the mortal puts on immortality, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when that which is sown in weakness is raised in glory. That is what we look for in Christ at the end of the age. 1 Corinthians 15 is a wonderful promise at all times, and especially at times like this. It's been said, and I always mention this at a funeral, and maybe the flavor of it already has been tasted, but it's been said that funerals aren't for the dead, but that they're for the living, right? And so let me ask, do you have that sure hope in Christ? That your death, because you belong to Jesus, will be precious in the sight of the Lord? Because if that's the case, then your death will bring you one step closer to the finishing high point of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting that God has for all of his children. Beloved, the gospel message is simple. Nothing complicated about what God has revealed to us in his word as that way of salvation. Recognize that you're a sinner in need of saving grace. Cry out to God for the pardon and mercy that you need through Christ and through Christ alone. And then go. Go in the freedom of that forgiving grace and love him who has first loved you. And live for him in thought, word, and deed, as long as he gives you length of days. That's a simple testimony, but it's a wonderful testimony. That was Bertha's testimony, and may God grant us grace and blessing that we too, each of us, would have that same testimony as well. Amen. Well, we're going to close with a word of prayer. And in that prayer, we'll include asking for the Lord's blessing on the food that's been provided for us. And so as you exit the sanctuary following the memorial service, just the ladies might direct you, but there's food ready to be received at the table, and then you can find a seat from there. And just one update for the closing of the service here. The recessional, number 22 from Psalm 16, "When in the night I meditate," that's going to be something we'll sing together, all five verses together, and then the family will have just a musical accompaniment for their recessional. So let's remain seated, and we'll sing all of the stanzas of number 22 after we call on the Lord for prayer. Shall we bow together? Our Heavenly Father, as you have comforted us in this time through your word, go ahead of us now by your Spirit, that our fellowship might be sweet and full of hope, that our friendship might be a testimony to all of your many mercies, and that our joy on this day would remind us of the victory of Jesus Christ for us. Bless also, we pray, the food that we're about to enjoy together, as well as the many hands that have prepared it and will serve it, that in all things we have occasion to give you thanks and praise, and ask all of this, not because we are worthy or deserving, but because in Christ you call us to cry out to you, and for his sake you promise to answer our prayers according to your will. For he loved us, he gave himself for us, and he gives us access and acceptance in your sight. Amen. So let's turn and sing all five stanzas then of number 22.